Welcome to the In Bed with Lisa podcast. Get ready to lean in a little bit closer because this show is here to help you banish shame and build self-worth and develop confidence in and out of the bedroom. I'm Lisa Welsh and I'm a sex educator coming to you from Durban in South Africa. And my mission is to provide accurate, evidence-based sex education to empower you to live your sexiest life filled with pleasure. Sounds good, huh? So today you're going to be listening to an interview that I gave for Sandcastle Radio, which is America's hottest music and variety station. Now this is actually a little teaser because this is an interview with Debs. And after this interview, Debs actually called me and offered me a show on the station. Can you believe it? And I thought she was joking, and then I pinched myself and it was still true. And so this is a teaser. This is an introduction to Sandcastle Radio. This is the interview that I gave that led to me being offered a show. I know, it sounds ridiculous. So I really hope that you enjoy it. Let me know what you think about the show. Send me your comments over on Twitter at InBedWithLisa. I would love to hear from you. And send over any questions that you have, because I will address those on a future show. So now it is time to sit back and enjoy my interview on Sandcastle Radio with Debs for her show, The Secret Place.
All right. Hey, y'all, this is Deborah Bassett with The Secret Place. I'm coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. I'm so thrilled to have Lisa Welsh from Durban, South Africa in the virtual space with me today. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Debs. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm so happy to be with you, honey. We have tried to schedule this a few times, and Lisa is dealing with the energy crisis right now in South Africa that we were chatting a little bit about off air, and we could have a whole program devoted to just that. But that's not what this show is about today. Today, it's about sex. And Lisa is a sex educator dedicated to helping people banish shame, build self-worth, and develop confidence in and out of the bedroom. I like that. She has a playful approach to sexuality that helps people let down their guard and get curious about things that usually make them blush. And I can attest to that playful side. We're going to talk about that in a minute because that's what caught my eye on the socials, those playful, adorable videos. Lisa was the communication manager for the 2021 Congress of the World Association for Sexual Health. Oh, got serious. And the host, she's also the host of the In Bed with Lisa podcast, and she's been featured in Glamour UK, the Shameless Sex podcast, and other places. She is a popular guest on many shows, and we're just thrilled to have her here today on Sandcastle Radio with me in The Secret Place. Hey, baby, how you doing today?
So good. I love this. The Secret Place.
Mm-mm. I know. Right. Right. It was actually the name. So I make music too. And it was the name of my first album. And then when I started with my radio show, the director of the station at the time suggested the title. And I thought, you know what? Okay. It keeps it open. And it turns out I do have just so many interesting guests on here talking about music, talking about life, talking about sex, talking about whatever. And it just works. But thank you for being here. I know you've got so much going on with all your various endeavors. And, you know, I'm thinking about that description, playful, and that's so, so true for you. Because when I came across the first video I saw of you, I think it was on Instagram, and you just looked adorable, like you do right now, and like you do in all your videos and pictures. Like, you're just having so much fun. And you had like a little whip you were holding up, and I thought, my goodness, like, it took me a minute to realize that's what you were doing. Like, you make kink so playful and cute. But let's dive in. Tell me about In Bed with Lisa.
So it's a brand that grew out of my own necessity to learn about myself and pleasure, because I'm somebody who came from a marriage where I faked orgasms for years and years. Yeah. I'm not proud to say it.
Hey, I mean, I think many women can relate, and maybe some men, but definitely all women can relate to faking an orgasm once or twice, maybe more.
I want to say maybe more, but I had a kind of a whirlwind childhood, and I ended up kind of independent very young. I was 17 and I was working and studying, and then I got married very quickly, had kids very quickly, and like all the things fell into place, you know. Yeah. The things that you think you're supposed to do. And then I just found myself in a marriage that just wasn't fulfilling. And as guilty as it still makes me feel, I knew that there was more, whatever that was. And it started out being just a self-discovery, and it turned out that the marriage didn't really have capacity for that growth.
Right.
So I actually started in 2012 with a Facebook page called Happiness for Her. And it
Huh.
was my outlet to just like talk about setting boundaries and being happy and not feeling guilty for taking care of yourself.
Right.
And then my secret place was that sex actually and self-pleasure was a massive healing tool for me, but I wasn't
Yeah.
talking about that back
Yeah.
then on Facebook. I wasn't
Okay,
talking
so
about
you
that.
weren't talking about sex at in happiness for her. You were talking about other things like,
Yeah, like setting boundaries and
yeah.
self-care and
Right.
body, right? But
Candles
actually,
and yoga.
candles. Yeah. I wasn't telling them do yoga with a yoni egg and have
Yes.
self-love with a vibrator. So, but
Oh, we've
actually,
come so
that
far.
I've come so far, and it's taken a long time, like 11 years for me to actually build the confidence to speak of this. And it's been testing the water, seeing how people responded. And I'm also a mum, so I also wanted to see how do my kids feel about this. And now they're teenagers and they're very comfortable with it. So it's made me more comfortable. And yeah, now I'm just telling the truth that actually sex can be a real healing pathway. It can be a playground for adults. It's in many ways a missing link that we all want, we all think about, we all talk about, but we are scared to do or communicate.
Well, I'm really glad you said that, it is a tool for improving health, right? And I found it interesting that you were involved with the World Association for Sexual Health. Can we talk a little bit just for a minute here about how pleasure is very good for our brains and our bodies and every aspect of our health?
So in fact, the World Association for Sexual Health just they in 2021 they had their Declaration for Sexual Pleasure. So their Sexual Pleasure Declaration, which is like groundbreaking. This is scientists and doctors and people who are big brained people in the world telling us that pleasure is important. Pleasure is a factor for safer sex. Pleasure is good for our health. Pleasure is an integral part of sex, just like sexual health, sexual rights, sexual justice. Sexual pleasure is equally important. And yeah, I'm so excited to be like in that little niche of the sex realm, because that's what I'm advocating for. It's not all about orgasms. It is about pleasure, and it is about fun, and it is about
Right.
like having a release and a way to
Yeah.
express yourself as a person.
So pleasure, sexual pleasure, let's be specific. Sexual pleasure is good for us. And I think maybe we haven't been in that moment where we've been able to say that and have it be accepted, or maybe have the scientific community. I mean, the scientific, and I am a former research scientist, by the way, who worked in health, from the social science aspect. So this talking to you is right up my alley, and talking about this stuff is right up my alley. We were just talking about how sexual pleasure is actually a very important component of overall health. And Lisa, I was reading recently, I'm starting to see more and more scholarly articles come across my desk that are on this subject, which is interesting. And a pleasure to read. And talking about how when you experience, because I know you said it's not all about orgasm, and it's not, but when you experience orgasm, it releases endorphins in your brain. And of course, we already knew this, but it literally makes one healthier, younger. There is a aspect of vitality to that that I found very interesting. Is that an area that you're looking at as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that helps women to not feel so guilty, women in particular, who tend to feel guilty or that pleasure is frivolous and not worth their
Right,
time.
frivolous. I like that.
Yeah. And they're happy to just perform, like do performative sex and fake an orgasm because they don't think it's worth really putting effort in. But if you show them the benefits, actually, yeah, it can definitely have those anti-aging benefits. You don't need a serum. You just
Yeah.
need an
Yes,
orgasm.
baby.
Help like relieve depression, reduce
Well,
stress, reduce
exactly. Yeah.
improve sleep. There are so many benefits, so many health benefits.
Yeah, and strengthens your immune response as well, I read. And I was like, wow, what's not to love about this? Like, we need to be coming every day. I mean, can we say that on the radio? Yes, we can. Because we're independent radio, listener supported. Thanks, y'all. All right. So how do people make the I mean, what is your what it I guess what is the number one question you hear, or maybe the number one issue, or if there was one piece of advice you could give someone who was interested in incorporating more sexual pleasure into their life, into their lives, to move away from faking orgasm and actually experiencing it. I don't know. Is there one tip or?
There are so many, but I would say that one tip is don't look at movies and porn as your education,
Yeah.
because that is not the kind of sex that is really going to help people with vulvas. Okay, that's the one thing to know. Whatever you're experiencing is normal. It's probably going to take longer than you think. It's probably not going to happen if you're in a heterosexual situation. It's probably not going to happen spontaneously when the penis is ready. You're probably not going to be ready, right? So I want to say change your expectation of sex. It doesn't only mean penetrative penis in
Right.
vagina. It doesn't have to happen spontaneously. In fact, that's incredibly rare. Desire isn't always spontaneous, especially in women and people with vulvas. It is usually something that is responsive. So give yourself a break, give yourself time, accept the reality of your biology, right? And understand that vulvas and clitorises need time to like get ready. They need time to become engorged with blood, and that's going to help them be more sensitive. They need about 20 minutes of like direct clitoral stimulation. Nearly every vulva owner needs about 20 minutes of direct clitoral stimulation in order to experience orgasm. So that means relax, take your time and enjoy it. Like go for the waves of pleasure. I don't know how many tips, this is definitely not one, but just go for
No, this is
waves.
great. This is a whole seminar. You're welcome, listeners. Yeah, go
You
for the
know,
waves of pleasure.
yeah, don't it because the other thing is, if you're aiming for orgasm and you want to orgasm and you're thinking, oh, maybe it's going to happen, or but maybe they're getting tired, or maybe they're about
Right.
to come, right? All of
Right.
those things are enough to stop you from reaching orgasm, because then you're like, oh, I think it's going to happen. Oh my gosh. Oh no, please don't move. Oh. But we don't say it. We don't speak up. We just like let it go away. And it's frustrating. It's so
Yeah, it becomes stressful, and it's not supposed to be stressful. It's supposed to be enjoyable. And you know, I like one of your titles of your videos, and maybe it was an entire episode was how to schedule sex so that it's not awkward. Is that part of
yeah.
this, like setting aside time?
Absolutely. Because so scheduling sex, I also find is important for people with vulvas, right? Because we tend to be thinking of all of the things we need to do. We've got a lot of demands on our time and our energy and our resources, and we put pleasure down at the bottom rung and ourselves, right? If we're going to
Yeah.
have sex, sometimes we just do it because it's on the list. It's a chore we have to do, we think.
Right,
So
right.
by actually scheduling it and reminding yourself that you deserve it, that there are health benefits, that it's going to be a good boost to your intimacy and your skincare regime,
Yeah.
then you can do the things that basically make it easier for you. So, what are the common obstacles when it's time to have sex? What do you normally think? Oh no, I still need to do this, or I haven't shaved my legs, or I ate something that makes me feel bloated. Like,
Right.
so really reverse engineer your life to give yourself space for intimacy. Like, are you bribing the kids with some screen time? That's okay sometimes, right? It's
Yeah. Hey,
okay sometimes.
that's how I got sl any sleep at all when my kid was in preschool. It's like, here's the
Right.
iPad. Shaun the Sheep. Thank God for Shaun the
I guess
Sheep.
it's. I never thought I'd hear anyone say that. It's like reduce your expectations and be realistic, because you deserve to have some time for yourself. So look at this. We set really high standards for ourselves in life, a lot of us, right? And we expect all of these things, but something has got to give. And if it's always your pleasure, then that's a shame, because pleasure can fuel you. Pleasure can make things feel easier and reduce stress and all of that that we said. So scheduling sex basically allows you to reverse engineer your life to give yourself space to have that time. And that's why I really advocate for it.
I like it. And you know, the thing that comes to mind while you're talking is, you know, and I've had girlfriends ask me about this, and I have felt this way myself at various times in my life, but I'm sure you've heard this before, and the response would be, Lisa, honestly, I don't even feel like it. Like, it really is a chore. I'm not into it. I don't want to do it. The truth is, sleep is the new sex. Okay. Or I'd rather have a glass of wine or two and watch some Netflix. And so what do you say to that?
I say that is because we are chronically tired. We're exhausted. And when you are exhausted and stressed and tired and you need to sleep, then that is more important to your body. That is a more important need than sex, actually. You need to sleep before your body cares about procreation and pleasure. So making sure you get enough sleep is critical. That's foundational. You have to do that. I know it doesn't seem realistic. However, an orgasm can help you get sleep and it can help you to reduce stress. There are gains that you can get from having an orgasm that could potentially help you in the long run.
I mean, having an orgasm is so relaxing, as we all know. And you can get some really great sleep afterwards, and just, the overall cumulative effect of your body experiencing release and pleasure is very, very healthy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to put a
absolutely.
major I'm gonna have to put a major trigger warning before this episode. And I hate that, because what we're talking about is health.
Health,
And
yeah.
I love it that there's no shame or guilt or what's the word I'm looking for? There's just none of that garbage with you and with your sex education. I love that, and I feel like we need to have more of that. And my listeners know I'm a big advocate of pleasure, and I have a t-shirt that says "No fake orgasms."
Yes, we all need
Yeah,
that t-shirt.
it's a
Yeah, it
good
must be
t-shirt.
judgment free because we all deserve pleasure in whatever way we want to express that. Another thing I was about to say in response to you mentioning, I'd rather just watch Netflix, is often because women are not experiencing pleasure and they are doing it because they feel like they have to. And
Yeah.
that often comes down to two things. So, number one, I mentioned briefly, but that is that most women do not experience spontaneous desire, but they have something called responsive desire. There's a great book called Come As You Are that goes into great detail about this. But in essence, that means our arousal takes, we take longer to get aroused. Because often, if you think about it, and maybe the listeners might think about this, that as you are doing it, you get more into it and then you actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying do it if you don't want to, but what I am saying is, what are you open to? Is there something you'd be open to, like kissing, making out, touching, hugging, dancing, something? Is there something you could be open to that might lead to more? Now, the important thing here is that then the partner shouldn't assume or expect that it will lead to more,
Right.
but can you open yourself up to some form of fun, intimacy, and touch? Because humans really do need touch, is there
We
something you
really
can open
do.
yourself
Yeah.
up to? Absolutely. And because that can open the door to more if you want to. And often it does, because once we get going, we're like, actually, yeah, I'm in the mood now.
Yeah.
Because our brain is so full of stuff that it takes a lot to just be present with a moment of intimacy that actually takes quite a lot of effort. So
Yeah, yeah.
that's part one of why women might be like, yeah, whatever, I could live without it. Part two is that they're probably not experiencing the right kind of technique or stimulation that actually gives them pleasure. Because the vast majority of women do not experience orgasm through penetrative sex. They just
Isn't that
don't.
fascinating?
Right. They need clitoral stimulation. And we just don't think that's the case because in movies, that's not how it happens. In porn, that's not how it happens.
Right.
So women think they're supposed to orgasm in the way we see in media. Men think women are supposed to orgasm in that way, but the truth is, we just don't. The vast, vast, vast majority don't. So, with all of this false assumption going on, women are left feeling like they are broken, they cannot orgasm, that it's just a waste of the time because it literally never happens for them and it's all for their partner. And they just feel like this tool that their partner just uses to get off and they're never going to get
Right.
off. So, it's that then becomes very easy to pass up on. You're like, whatever, I could really live without this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, right? Because if you're not having a good
Unfortunately,
time.
yeah, the sad thing is, it doesn't take much to actually tweak it and make a huge difference in pleasure.
Lisa, can we pick back up where we left off with that? So a lot of women have not experienced orgasm, sadly, or don't experience it regularly. So sex with a partner becomes a chore. And how do we tweak the technique so that that story changes?
So let me just start by giving you some ideas to tweak missionary, right? So I'm not trying to like tell you to change every single thing up in the bedroom. This is something you, but that you can do next time you're having sex without even having to communicate it with your partner, right? You can do this on your own.
Listen up, y'all.
So the first thing is use your hands, right? It's okay to touch yourself.
Yeah.
In nearly every single position, including missionary, you have permission to touch your clitoris. And if you have some lube on your hand, that is really going to be beneficial. So touch your clitoris in the way that you like to touch it. Okay. You're not trying to perform for anybody. You're trying to actually stimulate your clitoris. That is okay. This is 2023. We're allowed to touch our own
Yeah. Yeah,
clitorises.
yeah. And we're allowed to know where it is too, right?
Oh,
And
yes.
I like that you spell that out. I mean, you have some slides on your Instagram that show exactly how to find the clitoris in case anyone can't find it,
Absolutely. Yeah. And I
which
mean,
sadly
oh,
happens.
it does. And I mean, honestly, sometimes they can be a little bit hidden under hoods and
Yeah.
skin. So that's okay to not know. Don't be ashamed if you don't know, but then go and find out. So,
Yeah, go find out.
go find out. So that's if you're already having sex. Like, firstly, I would love to say wait until you're completely fully aroused before you reach penetration. I just don't think that many people wait, and they really should, because it feels so much better when the vagina is engorged and the clitoris is erect. Yes, clitorises get erect. So add lube, touch your own clitoris. Now, this is if you're feeling brave, add a vibrator to your clitoris. Like, invite a sex toy to the bedroom. You
Yeah.
can use a vibrator on your clitoris during penetrative sex, and that will ensure you're getting the right kind of stimulation, and it can also feel good for the shaft of the penis. Of course, I'm generalizing. I'm talking about heterosexual sex
Sure.
here.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
talking about penis in vagina.
Yeah.
So that's a couple of things you can do. Lube, hands, toy, squeeze your pelvic floor muscles as well by
Oh no, the
engaging.
Kegels. I hate those.
Those
Had to do
things
those
are
when I was pregnant. I hated those.
no, don't hate them, because they can be a powerful way to activate your vagina. Like, you're waking it up, you're increasing blood flow, you're then increasing sensitivity by activating and squeezing. In fact, some people can squeeze, rhythmically squeeze their pelvic floor to almost mimic orgasm, and it can even trigger the beginning of an orgasm.
Oh, well, I like that kind of kegel.
Yeah, that kind of kegel is fun.
I love it. That's so cool. Well, I'm glad you brought up toys because I was going to ask you about that. So a lot of your pictures and videos, you're sporting some colorful, fun-looking toys with a big smile on your face. God, I love you. And I mean, every single one of your videos just makes me smile. And
Oh.
but can you talk a little bit about toys, Lisa? And for someone for a listener who has not tried that, or maybe feels a little intimidated or apprehensive. I mean, it's easy to find stuff online now. Yeah, just say something about that if you would.
Yeah, so introducing sex toys into the bedroom, it can bring up insecurity, because if you are saying to your partner, like, I'm assuming a vulva owner is curious about trying a vibrator because she's heard all her friends saying how amazing it is, maybe, or she's seen an article. It's the worry is that your partner, your male partner, is going to feel intimidated or threatened or feel like they're not good enough.
I
Okay.
feel like
So
they're
if
being replaced,
being
maybe. I don't
replaced,
know.
absolutely, absolutely. And especially if you're like wanting this phallic looking thing, right?
Yeah,
You know, it's like, oh, another piece in the room. So then what the way you need to frame the conversation is, and this is truthful, you don't want to replace your partner. Being curious about having chocolate sauce on ice cream doesn't mean the ice cream sucks. It just means let's try adding something new to our fun. A toy can be used on the shaft of a penis just as much as it can be used on the clitoris. Those two things are biologically equivalent. They start out as the same tissue in utero, a penis and a clitoris. They will both enjoy vibration. So start maybe with something that doesn't look like a penis, something that is a little bit more friendly looking, right? Not
Like
the
a
penis.
bullet, maybe, like one of those little bullets. Yeah.
Absolutely. Start with a bullet and use it on other areas of the body, erogenous zones. Use it on the neck, on the earlobes, on the nipples, on the perineum, on the anus, anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Vulva, clitoris. And just experiment together. So shop together, experiment together, communicate. This is about increasing your fun together, not about replacing anybody. No matter how great a little air pulsation, triple motor whirring, fancy doodah vibrator is, it's never going to replace a human. It won't.
And at the same time, I have to say, if someone chooses to be alone, or they're alone, by life circumstances, they can also really enjoy pleasure, sexual pleasure with
Oh, yeah.
toys. So,
There's
so,
no doubt.
solo pleasure. And there's
Absolutely. And
nothing
I do.
wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong. That's it. There's another myth that people who are lonely use sex toys. That's an absolute myth. It is an empowering tool that allows us to access other forms of pleasure, other forms of sexual pleasure. It just allows us to experience a wide variety of stimulation that can feel so good. There's absolutely no stigma or judgment attached to choosing to use a sex toy. I mean, why wouldn't you? There are
Why
tools
wouldn't
that
you?
Yeah, there's tools that allow you to access deeper parts of the vagina, for example, like the A spot that you wouldn't necessarily be able to do without a toy, right? And that gives
The
you a
A
lot of.
spot. I'm not even sure I know what that is.
Like the very back of the vagina, like above the cervix, that can be incredibly orgasmic, but it needs a long tool to reach. And so, yeah, that it can teach us so much about ourselves. Imagine that it's crazy. It's kind of like being scared to explore your elbow and not wanting to look at it or touch it because it's like, oh, my elbow. Like your vagina is part of you and you're allowed to explore it. You're allowed to go inside it, even though that freaks a lot of people are not willing to touch inside their own vagina.
Well,
But
I
that's something
absolutely
I'm
love the
working
way
on.
you normalize the body, the way you normalize sex, the way you normalize sexual pleasure. Thank you for that. You are truly amazing and so refreshing, and
Thank you so much.
exactly what we need right now in this moment, I think, in society, having this bigger conversation about women's sexual health. It is very important. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear Earned It from The Weeknd. We'll be right back with Lisa Welsh, y'all, talking about sex. Send the kids to the room with an iPad or something. So, you have a book that you have graciously and generously made free for download called The A to Z's of Fun Sex. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
That's a fantastic little book. Obviously, I downloaded it immediately. And read it cover to cover, and I was like, girl, I hadn't even thought of some of that good
You gonna put me
stuff in
on the
there.
spot now with the letters? I don't know if I'll remember them all. Go, but you can try.
No, it's cool, but I and we just have a few minutes, but I do want to encourage listeners to check it out. It's a fun read, and it just gives you some ideas. And like Lisa was saying earlier, it's not all about sex. I mean, you had some ideas in there like dancing, which, hey, y'all know I'm a big fan of dancing. I always call it my
Yes.
second favorite aerobic exercise, baby.
Ah.
Which can sometimes lead to the first, depending.
Absolutely.
But yeah, where can listeners find out more about you?
So my website is inbedwithlisa.com. And if you go to free-resources, you'll find the ebook there. You can download it for free. Breast massage is actually one of my most fun additions in that book. I share a few breast massage strokes. That can be a really great way to connect with your body, to connect with pleasure, like a gentle way in. So
Oh,
yeah, it's one of
nice massage. Yes. Oh, I need a full
my
body massage right now. So yeah,
favorite.
she's all over the socials. Find her there. She has a YouTube channel. Are you on TikTok?
I am, although I've been like warned off so many times. I don't know how long for.
What? Are you off of TikTok?
Warnings on
They warn
TikTok.
you off of, oh my gosh, I've seen them like kill a horse on TikTok and they warned you off of there.
Yeah, they did. They get very sad with me.
Oh,
It's really not that
ridiculous.
bad. It's just, I'm just sharing educational content.
No, your vid there's look, I mean, let me be clear, there's nothing X-rated about Lisa's videos. They're all super cute and fun and, sexy and playful. Keep doing what you're doing, girl. It's a real public service. I'm sure you know that, but I just want to tell you that.
Thank you. Oh,
Okay.
that
And
really means
you're a personal inspiration to me. I love your work. We're going to have you back on The Secret Place. I feel like you might have some exciting news to share in the near future. We'll have you back on to share it, but thank you so much. And I'll see you on the socials.
see you there. Thank you so much, Deb. This has been an absolute honor. So that was my interview on Sandcastle Radio with Debs of The Secret Place. I really hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you thought. I'm on Twitter at InBedWithLisa. I flippin' love hearing from you, okay? I really do. So as I said, after that interview, Debs phoned and offered me a show on her station, which was like mind-blowing for me and such a flippin' honor. So going forward, from next week, I'm going to be sharing the radio show with you on this podcast so that no matter where you are in the world, if you can't listen live, you will be able to catch up on the shows. So that's what you can expect going forward. Thank you so much for being here with me today, and I'll see you next time.